Welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome to the Keystone Kickoff Show. I'm Jim Galante along with Jeff Byers, all ready for an hour of some Penn State football talk. And a reminder, our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel, they can help you out if you're looking to go to the Peach Bowl in Atlanta, Penn State versus Ole Miss. They have a great package with a hotel package at the Westin Peachtree Plaza. What's great about that, it's right in the middle of everything, literally just blocks away from the stadium, a couple blocks to the College Football Hall of Fame. And included is admission to fan night at the aquarium. You don't want to miss that. That also just blocks from the hotel. For more information, you could go to athletictravel.com or call the folks at 814-238-4987. All right, Jeff. It is crazy week in college football. So much going on. We've got the college football selection that left out an undefeated Florida State. We've got the transfer portal opening up. We've got that going on. We've got Penn State, Ole Miss in the Peach Bowl. We've got a new offensive coordinator coming in. As of this recording, we still have a defensive coordinator, but by the time the folks listen to this, we might not. Dealer's choice, where do you want to start?
Well, let's start with the transfer portal, because one of the things that I think Penn State fans ought to be feeling very good about, and this has been pretty consistent here under James Franklin and since the transfer portal came into play, and that is that the guys that Penn State is counting on, that you're looking at as starters or significant contributors the following season, they stay. The three that are in the portal right now for Penn State are all guys that I think are just understandably looking for playing time and opportunity to get out there and be on the field during their collegiate experience. And I think Penn State, you know, it's been varying degrees of success. You know, I think a guy like Chop Robinson, that worked out okay for Penn State at the end of the day. Dante Cephas maybe didn't have the production you were hoping for throughout the course of this season. But, I mean, I think Penn State is consistently very clearly on the winning side of the transfer portal every year and is getting better from one season to the next as a result of their use of the transfer portal. Whereas, you know, I don't know that that's the case with every team. Now, I think most teams, that are competing for national titles in the top end, that is the case. But I think it is good news, and it should be viewed as such for Penn State and its fans, that the Nittany Lions are in that position. And really, what happens with the players that Penn State loses through the transfer portal is it does open up, again, those opportunities either to bring in guys via the portal or to open up some more scholarship opportunities for kids that they're recruiting. So it is fascinating, the names that are out there and the quarterbacks in particular that have entered the transfer portal nationally. It is fascinating to see how much change and how much upheaval there is.
Well, just to share a couple numbers with you, in the transfer portal, and my information isn't entirely up to date, there are over 1,100 players, Jeff, in the transfer portal. There are over 100 quarterbacks in the transfer portal. And as close as I can, just in doing my manual counting, I saw 58 quarterbacks from Power Five conference teams. So the numbers are just crazy. And we'll get into a couple of the other teams, but I want to get back to Penn State. And I have my theories on this, but I want to ask you, why do you think it is that Penn State seems to be so successful in keeping their their team together. The handful of transfer guys that they have, as you mentioned, it's easily understandable. You could see why they're going. It is about playing time, and it usually is just a handful. So why does Penn State do so well in retaining their players?
Well, I think there's a few things in play, Jim. One is I really do think it starts with James Franklin. Do you have a head coach that you trust and that you feel like is helping you develop as a person, helping you develop as a player? Obviously, a lot of these guys have NFL aspirations. I think James Franklin, the track record in that regard is very good here at Penn State. A lot of his players have gone on and had success, not just gotten to the NFL, they've had success there. So I think that is a component to it. I also think, and we talked about this on one of the previous shows, but I think James Franklin does a great job, he and his staff, of being honest with these kids. Hey, it makes sense. We'd love to have you back, but it makes sense for you to go to the NFL draft. This is where we project you. And it's not just him. Again, he uses the resources that he and Penn State have available to, you know, listen, we have a bunch of draft experts here. This is what these guys think. This is what we're hearing. This is where we think you fit in. And, you know, this is where you might fit in if you come back for another year. Does it make sense for you to do that? And I think Penn State has been largely successful on the recruiting front of getting guys that are the right fit. And I do think that is a bigger part of the equation than people sometimes give credit to college coaches. I think a lot of times fans and media, it's like, well, is this guy a five-star or not? If he's a five-star, bring him in. If he's a three-star, maybe take a chance on him. I think there's a lot more involved there in terms of, hey, is this a team guy first? Is this a guy that, you know, will not be an academic problem that we're going to have to constantly be on him? And listen, I'm not naive and I understand how it works. I'm not saying that Penn State won't take a risk on a five-star that they're worried about academically. Yep, of course. But I do think that they take their time in the recruiting process and try to bring in kids, by and large, that they think will fit in with what they're trying to create and accomplish here. And I think they've been able to do that. And I think when you listen to the kids who have been, who have graduated and gone on, very rarely do you hear, in fact, I'm sure there are players because there's, you're around in the business long enough, there's going to be people that are bitter about their experience. But boy, I can't recall hearing somebody that came out after they left Penn State and said, yeah, boy, that was just an unmitigated disaster. That Franklin was a jerk to me, and the Penn State experience was nothing like what they told me it would be. I think just the opposite. And even a good number of the kids who have transferred out, it's like, well, yeah, no, it had nothing to do. I loved my time there at Penn State. I wanted to play, and there wasn't going to be that opportunity there. They had too much talent, too many good guys, and by and large, that's what you hear from the guys that leave the program.
And I think you're exactly right with that, Jeff, and I'd like to bring up the term culture. And I believe there's unique cultures for the different schools. I'm not going to say everyone is unique, but a lot of the prominent programs, you could kind of file them under a certain Alabama is different than Clemson, is different than Penn State, is different than Oregon, if you know what I mean. And the Penn State culture, and I'll give you a story, I'm pretty sure our colleague Landon won't be upset if I share this. He and I were out with a couple other people, and someone asked him, you know, why Penn State? And if you don't recall, Landon was very highly recruited and had a lot of places that he could have gone. And he talked about how this just felt right. He loved it here. It felt like home. It felt like the right place for him. Now, I contrast that with Texas A&M, for example. If you remember, just I believe it was two years ago, two recruiting cycles ago, they had this record-setting recruiting class, Jeff. And how they got that was with a lot of money, okay? So the players weren't going there because I love Texas A&M, I love the culture here and everything about it. It was, hey, that was the highest, you know, compensation place. And I don't blame kids for doing that. If I were, you know, 18 years old and someone said, hey, Jim, here's $1 million, I would go to Texas A&M for $1 million. I don't have a problem with that. But I think it creates a much different kind of culture, one that you wouldn't hesitate to leave for a better offer. If someone else was going to offer me $1,001,000, I'm probably going to go there, Jeff. And I think the proof in that is Texas A&M has, I think it's 12 players last I looked in the portal, including several of those very highly rated guys from that big class.
Yeah, no, I do. I think that's a big part of the equation is are you happy with where you're at? Are you satisfied with the things that are offered there? And do you feel like you're part of something special? And I think overwhelmingly, the kids that come to Penn State and are part of this program genuinely feel that.
It is the truth. It is the way it is. I also wanted to ask you about your thoughts on Ohio State. They actually have 13 players in the portal, including the starting quarterback, Kyle McCord. I know I gave you less than a minute to respond to this question, Jeff. We could pick it up in the second quarter if you need the time, but go ahead.
No, I do think Ohio State is going to be one of the fascinating teams to watch next season, I think, Jim, because, listen, Ohio State is going to be a talented team next year, and a lot of these guys that left or are leaving are going to be replaced by highly touted individuals. There's no question about that. But I am curious to see what that team chemistry is for Ohio State next year versus, let's say, a Penn State that has a lot of guys returning. And again, Penn State, all of these programs are using the transfer portal, but I think it's a little more selective here with Penn State. And I will be curious to see how the Buckeyes in particular develop next year and what that team looks like in some of their bigger games next season.
It will be fascinating. They essentially ran out of town a quarterback who led their team to an 11-1 season. That's it for quarter number one. I think we have some more to talk about with the transfer portal. We'll pick that up in quarter two. This is Jim from Keystone Sports for our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. If going to see Penn State in a bowl game is on your bucket list, I've got the solution for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel is ready to do all the planning for you. With both air and land packages available and 50 years of experience, let Collegiate Athletic Travel take care of all the details. They've got everything taken care of for a memorable trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414.
It's quarter number two on the Keystone Kickoff Show, brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football here in quarter number two of our show. Quick reminder, our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel have a great package for you. If you are heading down to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl, Penn State, Ole Miss, great package, a couple nights stay at the Westin Peachtree Plaza, which is right in the middle of everything going on, not far from the stadium, not far from the fan fest that's going on at the aquarium. Admission to that is included in the package. If you want all the details, just go to their website, athletictravel.com, or better yet, just give them a call, 814-238-4987. Take it from me, as someone who's traveled with them, it's a great way to go to an away Penn State game, especially to a bowl game. You won't regret it. A lot of fun. All right, Jeff, when we left off, we were talking about the transfer portal and kind of the difference between, you know, how Penn State handles it, how other teams handle it. I brought up Texas A&M and the changeover there. We also have really, really fascinating case here with what's going on at Ohio State. And I want to just dive into that a little bit more. This is a team that went 11-1. Their only loss was by one score to the number one team in the country. Their fan base is ready for a new coach. They're ready for a new quarterback. And the story that's coming out with Kyle McCord was that he and his family approached Ryan Day about essentially job security for next year. And Ryan Day did not tell him, "Hey, Kyle, you're the guy." Now, I know the cliche answer is every job is up for grabs every year. There's always competition. You know what? That's a bunch of crap, Jeff. It is. If they wanted him back, they would have told them, "Kyle, you're the guy." Am I right?
You are. At the same time, Jim, and this is what's just kind of, I don't know. It's interesting to me just in college athletics in particular these days. Listen, one of the things that I think all coaches at all levels are trying to do, I mean, maybe hopefully not at the elementary level, but I mean, high school on up, is you're trying to make your team better. And while I understand, and listen, there's different ways and different levels of a vote of confidence, I guess, that you can give to kids. But at the end of the day, I really don't fault Ryan Day for saying, listen, it's not, and obviously I don't know exactly what he said or how he said it, and that may play into this as well. But if he said, listen, you know, we're very appreciative of everything you did this year, but, you know, yeah, we're not going to turn away if, you know, some great quarterback wants to come in here. We're not going to say no because of Kyle McCord. And listen, I've seen it up close because of my covering the Penn State wrestling program. And I'll just give you an example there. Nick Nevels was a great heavyweight, was an All-American heavyweight for Penn State. And his brother Seth came in. And Nick, by the way, ended up losing out, lost his starting job because somebody came in. But Seth Nevels was kind of projected to be the next heavyweight for Penn State. And Greg Kirkfleet called up Penn State and said, listen, I think I want to follow Kyle Snyder, who had wrestled at Ohio State, was with their wrestling club, and then moved to the Nittany Lion Wrestling Club. And, you know, and there are people that will still tell you that it was a show of disloyalty. You know, Iowa fans in particular will tell you that Cal is not loyal to his wrestlers, that, you know, they went ahead and accepted Greg Kirkfleet to transfer in. And Greg Kirkfleet obviously has been a sensational heavyweight, and Seth Nevels was relegated to a backup role, and Seth was unquestionably an All-American caliber guy. At the end of the day, truthfully, all of these coaches, and certainly at the big-time Division I level, you know, James Franklin's duty is to make Penn State football the best team that he can. And if you have a guy who you think fits in culturally, who is an upgrade, and listen, we've seen it, you know, Alabama and Clemson have brought in quarterbacks who displaced high-caliber, high-level quarterbacks. And it's like, well, yeah, that guy was great. This guy might be the best. We're not going to turn him away because we have good or great already. Again, you're constantly looking to upgrade your football team. Now, I think you need to be careful in that regard from a cultural standpoint, that it's not just, hey, this guy throws the ball 10 yards further than you and is a little more accurate. You know, if he's a jerk, I think you stick with your guy. But I hear what you're saying. And yes, not every job is open. At the same time, to some degree, and even more so these days with the transfer portal, it is. And I think any coach who isn't willing to listen to somebody who wants to come into your program, they're seeking you out, I think you're foolish if you're saying, well, no, we already have a really good quarterback. Well, yeah, but I'm probably the best in the country. No, we're gonna stay with the really good. Well, why would you do that? Why would you turn away the opportunity to improve your football team? And listen, you turn it around. The kids are in the same position now, right? If they have a really good situation with the program that they're at, and they like their coach, but they think they're going to be a better fit, and that this coach is more innovative and does a better job of maybe getting me ready to play at the next level, they're going to go there. And it's, you know, it's the nature of competitive sports and a competitive world. And I think everybody, you know, ought to be constantly looking to upgrade. And what you'd like to see, and again, I'm not going to sit here and rail on Kyle McCord. I don't know him personally or anything like that. But what you'd like to see from a coach is, Kyle McCord come and, coach, I'm going to work to improve next year. And just so you know, I don't care if you bring in Caleb Williams. Next year, I'm going to be the guy, right? Like, that's the attitude you'd love to hear from the guy. I'm not trying to disparage. I don't know how the conversation went. So I'm not in any way trying to disparage McCord, but if he's going saying, hey, I'm worried that my position might be in jeopardy. I want to make sure I'm going to be the starter next year, right? I just don't think that's the mentality that you want in your starting quarterback, or again, really at any position. You want that guy to come to your coach and say, I'm going to prove to you that I have to be the guy. You're not going to have a choice because I'm going to be that much better next year. And again, maybe he did that. It's tricky when you get into these situations because you don't know what's being said in these private conversations.
Well, and you're right. We don't know the nature of the conversation. And, I don't think if I made it sound like, oh, the coach has to guarantee a job, I shouldn't have done that. But I think there's also a way to tell a player you really want him here or you do not. And I'm getting the impression, and by the way, I'm not the biggest Kyle McCord fan in the world, okay? And it wouldn't surprise me if Ohio State ends up doing better. But I think it kind of points to a situation that Ohio State has right now where they're 11-1, and that's not good enough. Not only did Kyle McCord, I think, from the fan response, and I'm guessing, and I could be wrong, from the coach's response, we're not overly impressed with you, kid. Well, guess what? The fan base is actually treating Ryan Day the same way. 11-1? Yeah, but, you've lost to Michigan 3 years in a row. That's not good enough.
Yeah, I just going back to the coach-player relationship, again, I don't know. I'm with you. I don't think Kyle McCord was overly impressive. And, I have no idea in terms of work ethic. It sounds like he's, a good teammate and does everything the right way. I think you want your head coach to be honest. And if after a season of evaluating him, it's like, listen, you did everything we asked. We appreciate it. I don't know that you're cut out to be this caliber of football player. Like, I actually would appreciate that. I realize in the moment it would be very hard for the kid and the family. But if they're honestly assessing and telling you, listen, again, we appreciate it. We went with you because you were the best option this year, but we really feel like we need to upgrade there. Then really, I think you're doing him a favor if you're letting him know, again, not being rude or mean about it, but yeah, honestly assessing, we feel like we have to get better play at the quarterback spot. And again, what you'd love is for Kyle McCord to say, well, I am that guy. I'm going to go do everything I have to do to become a better quarterback. And again, maybe they are sitting there telling them it's hard without knowing the conversation exactly how it goes. But I mean, if they just sat there and said, listen, no matter what you do, like there's a ceiling here, and what we need for our program, you're just not going to be able to provide. We think you're a good quarterback. we think will help you try to find a better home, because we think you can probably be a starting quarterback on half of the schools out there, or whatever it may be. And again, I have no idea what the nature of the conversation is, but I'm saying if it went something like that, then at the end of the day, you tip your cap really to both individuals. It's like, well, okay, this isn't the right spot for me. I'm going to move on. And Ryan Day, good job in being honest with your kids about the situation that you're in and that they're in, and what you feel you need to do moving on as a program, and what would be in their best interest as an athlete.
What's fascinating to me is Kyle McCord had to win the job before the season started. It was, what is it, Devin Brown, I think, is the name of the backup. Very highly regarded coming in. So they had multiple highly regarded guys, chose Kyle McCord, and it at least sounds like they don't think he's the elite guy. Does that also mean Devin Brown's probably not the guy? They had multiple bites of the apple, and they're probably going to go out and, you know, get an apple from the neighbor's tree, you know, to help them out through the transfer portal. And as we just pointed out, hey, there's 58 Power 5 quarterbacks in the portal, and Ohio State's not a bad landing spot. It'll be really fascinating to see where they end up with. When we come back, Jeff, I want to ask you more about Penn State and how they handle the transfer portal. We'll do that right after this. This is Jim from Keystone Sports for our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. If going to see Penn State in a bowl game is on your bucket list, I've got the solution for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel is ready to do all the planning for you. With both air and land packages available and 50 years of experience, let Collegiate Athletic Travel take care of all the details. They've got everything taken care of for a memorable trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414.
Let's get back to the action on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
Hello and welcome back to the Keystone Kickoff Show. It's quarter number 3. He's Jeff, I'm Jim. We've been talking an awful lot about the transfer portal. We've been hitting... I think we did an entire segment on Ohio State and the transfer portal there, Jeff. So, yeah, welcome to the Buckeye Kickoff Show. Anyway.
Yes, indeed.
Let's shift our attention back to the Nittany Lions. And we were talking a little bit between segments. And I mentioned to you, and I don't know if this is an underrated thing, but I'll bring it up and I'll say it. I really like how James Franklin handles the transfer portal, both incoming and outgoing. He's, I think, very particular about who he brings in. He'd rather bring in guys that he had recruited, but it's not this mass influx of portal guys. You don't see 15 guys coming in. But the guys you see coming in, you mentioned, you know, Chop Robinson. Well, that one turned out okay, as you put it. Then another defensive end. Remember Arnold Ibikidi?
Yes.
Pretty good. I think, remember Derek Tangelo? I think another guy that gets forgotten.
Yes.
Hunter Norzad, your starting center, came through the portal. And that's the kind of guy I think gets forgotten. And another guy I'll throw out there because I want to tell you what my reaction was when he first came in. And that's Johnny Dixon. When they first brought him in, I said, why? They don't need help back there. Well, Jim was wrong. Jim was very wrong. Johnny Dixon has turned into a heck of a player. So as you go through it, being very particular about it, James Franklin, I think, has a great record with the portal.
Yeah, and I would throw Trey Potts into that mix as far as, you know, why. And then, oh, well, that worked out pretty darn well, I think, for everybody involved. And, yeah, so I think, you know, it comes back to, it, as you said, I think he's selective, and I think you're not looking at Penn State saying that the transfer portal is where we're going to make our hay. It is very much about, hey, can we get some supplemental pieces in some spots that maybe we need some help, or where it's just, hey, this guy is a terrific talent, fits in well culturally, and even if it's a spot where we feel like we're in good shape, you never know with injuries, and if this guy wants to be here and, again, has the right work ethic and all of that, yeah, let's take a shot and see if we can even upgrade even further. And Johnny Dixon is just one of the real, I think, fascinating stories on this team. When you look at the background he comes from and the dedication he has had to making his life something meaningful from an area where a lot of people have chosen just the opposite. And I think he is a real inspirational figure. Obviously, he's a terrific football player and very talented, and I'm not saying that doesn't factor in to why Penn State brought him in, but he also is just a guy that is very driven to do the right thing and to make something of his life and take advantage of the opportunity that he knows he has. And I think, as you said, I think James Franklin is using the portal exactly right, where it's like, hey, let's pay attention to it. Let's see if there are some guys out there that can supplement what we have going here, that can be a good fit, that can fill a need in a particular season or over a couple of year span. And I think that they've been very judicious and very smart about it. And I think, you know, with anything, you're not going to be 100%. On, yep, boy, that was a home run and worked out absolutely perfectly. But boy, the track record is really, really good for Penn State here on the transfer portal front. And as we've said, Jim, I think it's a lot more significant than what it gets played up. The fact that they really have not lost players that you would say that were of significance. I mean, I'm trying to think of the of a player where you're like, boy, if Penn State had been able to keep that guy, then this team would have been that much better. I mean, I think in every case, not to say they haven't lost some good kids, but I don't know that there is a spot here, and I haven't researched this. This is off the top of my head, but I can't think of a situation where a guy left and Penn State was weaker. You felt that Penn State was weaker at that position the following year. I think he's been, again, very, very good on the recruiting front, obviously, but really smart on bringing the right guys in with the transfer portal, but an outstanding job of keeping the good players, and not just the good players, the good personalities, the good fits with the Penn State program here for the duration of their careers.
And I think you're right. And I saw recently, and maybe it was just the name popped up when I was watching a game, but running back is an interesting place because I forget these names so quickly when they transfer. You know, you have Noah Cain, Keziah Holmes, Devin Ford, all guys that we had high expectations for, but I think it was just a case, hey, these two freshmen came in and were phenomenal, but it also leads to a name that you brought up, which is Trey Potts. And they were able to bring in a guy when you said, oh, you didn't know why. Well, I knew why. I mean, he was an insurance policy. You know, God forbid one of the first two got injured. You had Trey Potts, a veteran who had played in the Big Ten, but he accepted his role, knew what his role was coming in, and I've got to think that it was close to home because he's from Williamsport. There were those kind of things that were part of it, but that was a tremendous, tremendous get. I'm thinking also, if I'm anywhere in the country and I'm a defensive end who wants to be developed as a transfer, Ibukidi, Chop Robinson, boy, I'd like to follow in those footsteps. And you have a situation where Ibukidi came from Temple, got developed, he became, you know, ready for the NFL. Chop Robinson was probably misused at Maryland as a linebacker when, I mean, this is a guy, you let him go after the quarterback, and Maryland essentially wasn't doing that. He comes here, he's all world. And I think the other part to it is it feels like Penn State coaches, and they don't get enough credit for the development work. Again, Johnny Dixon. Johnny Dixon is an NFL cornerback, okay? I didn't think that when he first came in, Jeff. So I think there's development happening here, and that ability to pick and choose. Now, you flip it to the other side again, you know, outgoing, it's almost to a man been a case where I think Christian Vaiu is a perfect example. You know, he played in that Rutgers game a couple of years ago, looked pretty good.
Yep.
Looked like the heir apparent. And you bring in, as you point out, it doesn't mean you can't bring in more talent, which they did with Drew Aller. And I think one of the things I give James Franklin a lot of credit for was making Drew Aller number two behind Sean Clifford. So Christian Vaiu, it's essentially what you talked about. He knew where he stood.
Yep.
In plenty of time to make a decision in his best interest. He was a very good soldier through that one season, but I can't think of a Penn State fan who said that wasn't right for him to transfer.
Right. No, and I think that's been overwhelmingly the case for Penn State under James Franklin. And again, I think that the Nittany Lions are just have been very smart about the way they've used the transfer portal. And I think they are one of the schools that is using it to both their advantage and to the players' advantage. In other words, again, if you have a kid who, yeah, is good, but isn't going to be good enough to get playing time or any significant playing time here. Again, I think you want to be honest with them. They only have, soon we're going to be back to truly 4 years of eligibility. Well, you want those kids to enjoy that that experience. And, you know, and some don't need to start. I mean, everybody has kind of their own ideals about what they want out of the experience. But if somebody wants to be on the field, hey, I want to have the memory of playing college football, and they're good enough to do it, just not good enough to do it here. Yeah, you want to be honest with them and give them that opportunity. And, you know, same thing when you're bringing kids in. Again, it's you got to make sure everybody's on the right page and has the right mindset. And I think a guy like Potts is another great example of that. I mean, Trey Potts could go start on a lot of teams. Well, you don't want to bring him in here and tell him, hey, you know, we think you can beat out Singleton and Allen. We think you're going to be the guy. Like, you need to be honest with him. And if he's good with it, and obviously he was, and there was upfront conversation that, hey, you know, the truth is you might not see the field a lot, but you never know. If we get a couple of injuries, you may be the guy, and we really want you here for that. And obviously, he was willing to accept that role, and I think it's worked out very well. I think people have been, Penn State fans have been very appreciative. I know the coaching staff and the team are very appreciative that he chose to come here. But I think, again, it's all making sure you're fulfilling the expectations that the kids have and their families have, and at the same time, focused on trying to make your team, your program, better.
And, you know, quickly, the last thought on the whole transfer portal thing, one of the unintended results of the merging of NIL and transfer portal is instead of transferring for playing time, opportunities, it's going to the highest bidder, Jeff.
Yeah, no, that is happening a lot of times, I think. To a large degree, at least to this point, Penn State has avoided that. And again, I think that's a credit to the culture, as you put it, but the locker room and the atmosphere that James Franklin has created around this program.
Yeah, he's done an absolutely great job on that. All right, Jeff, when we come back, quarter four, it's got to happen. I'm going to ask you about the defensive coordinator. And perhaps they'll be looking for a new one. We will talk about Manny Diaz when we get back. This is Jim from Keystone Sports for our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. If going to see Penn State in a bowl game is on your bucket list, I've got the solution for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel is ready to do all the planning for you. With both air and land packages available and 50 years of experience, let Collegiate Athletic Travel take care of all the details. They've got everything taken care of for a memorable trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414.
We head to the home stretch in quarter number four on the Keystone Kickoff Show. Brought to you by the Keystone Sports Network. Get the best Penn State sports news and analysis at KeystoneSportsNetwork.com or download the Keystone Sports app from your smartphone.
And welcome back to quarter number four, the Keystone Kickoff Show. He's Jeff. I'm Jim. We're talking Penn State football. But a quick reminder, if you plan on going down to Atlanta for Penn State, Ole Miss in the Peach Bowl, don't forget to check out our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. They have a great plan. Get to stay a couple nights at the Westin Peachtree Plaza, right in the middle of everything, close to the stadium, close to the College Football Hall of Fame, close to the Fan Fest, which is going to take place at the Aquarium. Admission to that is part of the package. Check it out. You could go to athletictravel.com or call 814-238-4987. All right, Jeff, this is the point where we do the full disclosure on the show. All right, here's how this works. We pre-record the show. We do. We're recording this on Thursday. Prior to any official announcement about Manny Diaz taking the Duke job. So if he doesn't do it, well, you know, this is the reason why we're recording it. It's not official, but all evidence points to Manny Diaz taking the job at Duke. What's your initial reaction?
Yeah, I think kudos to Manny Diaz, and I think it's a good fit. I think it makes a lot of sense for him. And we go back to kind of the honesty discussion that we had earlier and the culture that you create. And Manny Diaz has been very upfront from day one that his aspiration is to be a head coach, and he wanted to get back to that at some point. And, you know, I think he is in a good situation here at Penn State because he didn't just have to jump at the first opportunity, and I don't think he is. I mean, this does end up being the first opportunity this year for him, but I mean, I think he can be selective, and I think this is, to me, it feels like a good fit on a number of fronts. I think his personality and his youthfulness and exuberance combined with the experience that he obviously already has as a head coach in the ACC makes him, I think, a really attractive candidate for Duke. And I think for Manny Diaz, Duke is an attractive destination. It is a school that has had some success, so you're not walking into an empty cupboard situation where you're trying to build this thing from the ground up. Duke's in a good position. I mean, not Alabama good, but it's a good spot. And it's in the ACC, a good conference, but not the Big Ten, not the SEC. So I think you can hit the ground with expectations within the conference being fairly high. And I think there's also kind of a risk-reward thing here where Manny Diaz at Miami, I mean, it was, man, you need to win big and win big now. You go to Duke, even if you struggle, and Duke goes, you know, 6-6 the first couple of seasons, I don't think there's anybody that says, oh, man, that Manny Diaz, what a disaster. It's like, well, yeah, it's Duke. He's doing okay. You're holding your own, figuring it out. If he goes in there and goes 10-2, right, they're ready for the coronation. So, you know, there's not a lot of risk. And I do think there's a lot of reward. And if his – and I don't know what his ultimate goal is. Like, I don't know if he sits around at night and says, I need to be the head coach of a national championship program. before I leave the coaching profession. If that is something that drives him, yeah, I think it's pretty unlikely that that occurs at Duke. But I think if you have some success there, and, you know, if you get a 10-win season sometime in the next 5 years, that is a huge deal at a place like Duke. And I think it sets you up for the opportunity then to likely get an offer from one of those programs that can more likely compete. But the other part of it is, and again, maybe you get lightning in a bottle and you do lead Duke to its only national title in school history. You never know. But I think it's a position where you can, if you are moderately successful and you establish the culture that you want, and I think Manny Diaz takes a lot from his experience at Penn State in terms of how to create that, I think this could be your destination job, and he could be there for, you know, the rest of his career and be heralded as the greatest coach in Duke history and I, you know, do a lot of great things there. So to me, it is just it feels like a really good fit for him. It's disappointing, certainly from the Penn State perspective, because I do think he was as good, if not better, than any defensive coordinator in the country. And I think he had this defense humming. And I think even though they lose a lot of talent from this year's team, I think this defense is going to be very, very good again next year. But it's always a little tougher when you have to make an adjustment with a new defensive coordinator, no matter who that is. And I do have faith that they'll get a very good coordinator in here, and that's going to be the interesting next step of the process, assuming that everything we're hearing as we record this is accurate. And I suspect by the time people are listening to this show that we will have it confirmed that Manny Diaz is in fact now the head coach at Duke, and that Penn State is looking for a defensive coordinator as well.
And yes, that's the reminder. As we're recording, it's not official yet, but it appears to be headed that way. And I agree with most everything that you said, Jeff, in that it is a good fit. His familiarity with the ACC, it's a job without those kind of expectations like at Miami. And you mentioned, well, it's not like an Alabama. Well, how often do those jobs show up? They don't. It was unusual, remember, a year ago where Lincoln Riley left Oklahoma, Kelly left Notre Dame, which opened up those two jobs. And that is unusual. That doesn't happen. But I saw this one comparison that I think is interesting when you talked about the expectations at Duke. Mark Stoops, who was the coach at Kentucky, a traditional basketball school, he wins 9 or 10 games. He's, you know, could probably stay there as long as he wants. Had he wanted to, though, he could have taken the Texas A&M job, which ironically the Duke coach took, which opened up the job. So I think it's a great comparison where Stoops could probably stay at Kentucky forever. And if Manny Diaz does the job that I think both of us expect him to do at Duke, he could probably stay there forever. But as we just saw, his predecessor at Duke got the big Texas A&M job. He puts himself in a position if that's what he wants to do, Jeff.
Yeah, I just think it is a very good situation for Manny Diaz to walk into. And I do think he'll have success there. I just think the experience that he had at Miami combined with the experience that he had at Penn State now, I just think everybody you talk to around the Penn State program, his personality, the fire he brings, but his attention to detail, his understanding of the game, all of it just feels like this is set up for success. However you want to define success, and I'm not exactly sure how I would define that at Duke. But listen, I think there's a very real chance that he does get to the 10-win mark at some time over the next 5 years at Duke. And again, if he does that, that is next level type of stuff for that program.
I think the ACC is winnable for him.
I do,
which means a playoff berth. Would that not be crazy if he could accomplish that? But I do think that is possible playing in the ACC. So, Jeff, and by the way, I think I'm going to become a Duke fan.
Yeah, I think I'm right there with you. One other thing, just to kind of pile on there with those jobs don't open up very often, the Alabama or the Ohio State jobs. But also, I mean, Ryan Day replaces Urban Meyer and goes, 58-7, whatever it is. I mean, his only losses in the conference, and he's only got three of them, are to Michigan, which, you know, is in the, and they're not happy. They're not satisfied with that. Yes, I mean, there's great money that comes with that and all of it, but man, oh man, the unrealistic, I think the unrealistic expectations. And listen, there are Alabama fans now that are not happy with Nick Saban, that this has gotten stale. They're 11-1 and they're back in the playoffs again, or 12-1 now, and back in the playoffs again. They might win another national title this year, and you have Alabama fans this season complaining that, yeah, it might be time to move on from Nick Saban. So it is just a different level of pressure and expectation when you're talking about those top, you know, four or five programs. I don't know that those are actually I don't know that the best paying jobs are necessarily actually the best jobs. Again, this Duke job feels like a really good one to me.
So Jeff, you're telling me you'd be satisfied just with being ranked fourth and losing a game like Alabama has? No, I'm sorry. We need an elite coach. And this Saban guy, I'm just not sure you're doing the best you possibly could. Let's talk about it. You got to replace the defensive coordinator. This story's been going on for a while. I'm sure James Franklin has his binder out. Does he go outside or stay inside for this hire?
My guess is just because of the track record, and I wouldn't mind him going inside, and I do think that's a possibility in this particular case, just because of, again, what we've been talking about with that culture, and I do think there's a good vibe. I mean, I think if there is going to be a time where he promotes somebody from within to defensive coordinator, this feels like this would be that spot. That being said, I'm expecting that it'll be a national search and that we'll get somebody that has had experience and success as a defensive coordinator from somewhere else. But I won't be surprised if this time, this one time that James Franklin says, you know what, I think we can go ahead and stay inside the program.
I have the conversation. Coach Poindexter, how close were you paying attention the last 2 years to what Manny was doing? Can you replicate that? And if I feel the answer is yes to that, I make an internal hire. If I'm James Franklin, I want to keep things on the defensive side of the ball as close as possible to what I've seen for the last 2 years. If I feel someone internally can do that, boy, that's the way I'm going. That's what I'm looking for. All right, that is it for our show. Thank you all for listening. Join us next time on the Keystone Kickoff Show. This is Jim from Keystone Sports for our friends at Collegiate Athletic Travel. If going to see Penn State in a bowl game is on your bucket list, I've got the solution for you. Collegiate Athletic Travel is ready to do all the planning for you. With both air and land packages available and 50 years of experience, let Collegiate Athletic Travel take care of all the details. They've got everything taken care of for a memorable trip to Atlanta for the Peach Bowl. For more information, go to athletictravel.com or call 800-788-4414.